Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, March 11th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 43, the second paragraph, starting with many doctors and psychiatrists, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Audrey M.P., 12 Traditions, Christina M. Reader of the text, Jody E. Laura R. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Naomi B. The reference number for Wednesday, March 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,555. That's 16555. And for this morning, Thursday, March 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,563. That's 16563. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Mary B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to all of you for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Don B. and Team Thursday. This is Audrey M.P. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Southern California, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P., and I'll now have Christina M. read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing and topic to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 43, the second paragraph, starting with many doctors and psychiatrists. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Jody E. to begin reading. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Dawn and everyone. This is Jody E., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. Many doctors and psychiatrists agree with our conclusions. One of these men, staff member of a world-renowned hospital, recently made this statement to some of us, quote, "What you say about the general hopelessness of the average alcoholic's plight is, in my opinion, correct. As to two of you men whose stories I have heard, there is no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless, apart from divine help. Had you offered yourselves as patients at this hospital, I would not have taken you if I had been able to avoid it. People like you are too heartbreaking. Though not a religious person, I have profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there is virtually no other solution." Unquote. So if you happen to be on the 7 a.m. meeting this morning, you may have noticed that I already shared on this paragraph, so I'm not going to share for too long, in case some of you are wondering about that, and I apologize for sharing twice on the same day. So the spiritual approach is virtually the only solution. As these stories in this chapter have shown us, Fred's story, Jim's story, the jaywalker, we are without defense against the first bite. It doesn't matter how much I know about my disease. I may know full well that when I eat something with sugar in it or flour in it or something else in it, that the phenomenon of craving will be triggered in my particular body. I may know that so very well. But that does not prevent me from picking up that food even if I've been abstinent from that food for a period of time and the allergy is not active in my body, eventually I will get the idea in my head that it would be a good idea to pick up that food, that I'm making too hard work of a simple problem. Or I just won't even think about it at all and I'll just grab it. This is what happens to me as a real compulsive overeater when I am not in fit spiritual condition. So to get in fit spiritual condition and to stay that way, I need to work all 12 steps and I need to live in the steps every single day. And that's why I'm here this morning, because this helps me to get into fellowship with you, which I need. That's part of the spiritual solution, being in fellowship with other compulsive overeaters and being in fellowship with my higher power. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody E., for getting us started. I will now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Naomi B.
Naomi B. Who else would like to share?
Mary G.
Mary G.
Roz G.
Roz G. Carolyn S. Okay, let's start with that lineup. We've got Naomi B., Mary G., Roz G., and Carolyn S.
Good morning.
Good morning, Naomi. Please start us off.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Isn't it amazing here that it just in this one paragraph they have the word hopelessness and then hopeless twice in the same paragraph? I mean, that's some pretty heavy stuff. And here it says, I have 100%. I mean, you couldn't get any better than that, 100% hopeless, apart from divine help. And that is it. And then down here, of course, for most cases, there is virtually no solution. And that's it, no other solution. I got a call coming in. I got to scoot. I'm sorry. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much, Naomi B. Mary G., please share with us, followed by Roz G. Good morning, Mary, and please tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Mary G. in Arizona. I'm grateful recovered compulsive overeater for today. You know, this paragraph just really strikes me as one of those paragraphs when I think back to all of the doctors and all of the people that tried to help me to lose weight, to keep it off. You know, nobody, I don't think anyone understood that I was 100% hopeless apart from divine help. When I came into OA, I loved the spiritual part of the program. I thought, this is great. I know that's the answer. Unfortunately, coming in very spiritually arrogant, I couldn't connect with my higher power as long as I was using the food. I just couldn't. And until I put the food down and actually started, I put the food down and I had the awareness that, you know, I used food as my God. It was what I went to as my solution. It wasn't my problem, which I thought it was. It was my solution. And I, I'm just amazed that this doctor knew that, you know, he needed divine help. But, you know, I wonder if other doctors that I had seen probably thought the very same thing, but they couldn't help me. They did not understand the nature of the disease. And, you know, certainly I was 100% hopeless, you know, and I am so grateful that the one thing I did right probably in OA for the coming on 32 years that I've been in the rooms is that I never left. I knew this was the place where the solution was. And my story is that even though I had put down the food, it still took me another 4 years or another three and a half years to actually realize that I had to change. I had no clue that, you know, my character defects were what was also 100% hopeless. You know, I couldn't keep living my life the way that I was if I wanted to have a happy, joyous, and free life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. from Arizona. Roz D., will you share with us now, followed by Carolyn S., and then I'll be opening up the lines. And please let us know where you're calling from, Roz. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I am Roz G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Palmdale, California, which is just a little an hour north of the city of Los Angeles. Well, I like to talk about the spiritual aspect of this paragraph. It says I'm 100% hopeless and that I need divine help. That the big book says in a few places that I'm beyond human aid. And all of the human remedies that I tried didn't work. And I love how the big book says, look to see where religious people are right. So as I continue in abstinence and as I continue to work all 12 steps in some, you know, form every day, I have gotten into a habit that has been, you know, about an hour and a half to 2 hours in the morning with prayer, meditation, the big book, my scriptures, other spiritual readings. I have an altar in my room, sending a gratitude list to a fellow, mid-afternoon, pausing, praying in the evening, sending my evening review off to someone, but doing it in the spirit of prayer with the candles in my room. And that has been such a blessed time. And what also that offers to me is to look where religious people are right. And so I'm getting more involved in my church as a result of this book. And so, no, I'm not going to talk about religion. If somebody was going to try to interrupt me, I'm talking about the big book. I'm just saying that our book gives us that sentence, look to see where they're right. And so the spiritual approach to me is that this is God who does the work, and I have to, you know, hold hands with God, come alongside God and ask for His wisdom and help. Because if I do, what I'm looking at is that this disease gets worse, never better. And as I heard in an earlier share, if I have that idea that it's okay to eat this or that, I'm looking at worse, never better. And I've already experienced that a number of times. And so I need to have that special time with God, you know, and I need to cling to my higher power constantly. And so, yes, thank you. And to end, there is no other solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Now, Carolyn S., will you share with us? And then I'm going to be opening up the lines. We are on page 43, the second paragraph, starting many doctors and psychiatrists, and we're talking about that one paragraph only. So go ahead, Carolyn S. Thank you.
Yes, hi. This is Carolyn S. from New York. I'm taking a walk, so I feel a little out of breath. Anyway, this paragraph to me says, surrender. You know, we are hopeless without any hope on our own. I need this fellowship, but more important, I need God. I mean, that's my higher power. And without Him, I am completely hopeless. But with Him, wow, my whole life opens up. I mean, the weight loss is wonderful. You know, I waited for a whole week, 70 pounds, a meal. And there are all kinds of wonderful things that come with that, like being able to go up the stairs without heavy breathing. I'm going up a hill right now. So that's all wonderful, but that's not the biggest gift. There's so many gifts. And the ones that really astound me every day are the ones that affect my everyday life and attitude, my relationships. I'm a better wife, mother, friend, employee, you name it. Daughter. My father had a stroke January 1st. And it's been hard. He's 95. And he also got COVID in rehab. And he had 2 urinary tract infections. So he's been through the ringer. And my mom is 10 years younger. So I could rail against God and say, why, which is what my father's doing, my mother, to some extent. Or I could say, thank you, God, that he had 95 good years, which he did. He didn't have a lot of health problems before this. So I choose to be grateful. And, you know, I can't control my parents and the decisions they may make now about care, et cetera. But I can be of loving support. And that's my purpose on this earth, is to fit myself to be of maximum usefulness to God and the people around me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carolyn S. And now I'm going to open up the lines. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Naomi, can I take a turn again? I'm sorry. It's Naomi B. again, please.
Evan U.
Evan U.
Larry G.
Catherine M.
Larry G. Catherine
Audrey M.
M.
Ooh, sorry, Dawn.
Audrey M. P.
Thank you.
So we have Evan U., Larry G., Catherine M., Audrey M. P. Good morning, Evan. If you'd share with us, please. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Me, Dawn. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, go ahead, Evan. You, please.
Sorry. I beg your pardon.
Hi, okay. This is Evan Yu from California. So happy to be here with you all. This meeting is a daily inspiration to me to stay grounded in these steps as a way of living, a way of life, a way of greeting every moment. And I'm so grateful. There was a meeting I heard earlier this week that pertains to this that was so powerful for me. It was like a treatise on the food is the solution. The food was my previous solution, and that really this is for my life because my life is unmanageable. So when it says here, you know, that without spirit, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but basically it was talking about 100% necessary to have a spiritual solution. That's true for me, and it's not true for me just about food. My life, my great life, is unmanageable by me. In other words, I don't know how to do it myself. I've thought all these years that I'm powerless over this or I'm struggling with this, and I need to turn that over to God. And the rest of this stuff over here, I know how to do, and that's fine. And these are the gifts that God gave me, and so I can just go live my life. And none of that's true. I see, like, my very sanity, as somebody said earlier this week, which I loved, it's like my entire blueprint for living, the way that every conception I have needed to be altered and changed such that I could greet every moment with these principles. You know, and the first principle in step one is surrender. So for me, the job now is to surrender every moment, every fear, every thing that comes up. I surrender and I turn in that moment to my higher power. It's a whole new blueprint for living that's been given to me by, you know, after working these steps for so many years, you know, for the first time really understanding that it's, the disease may center in the mind, but the root of the problem is my selfishness and my self-centeredness, my identity, my ideas of what I, of me knowing what I think is good for my life. All of that has to change and be altered, and that's as a result of a psychic change, which is a result of working these steps. And that's why I love this meeting, because it's 100% focused on taking these steps and applying them in daily life and having that psychic change, such that every attitude and idea that I have is changed. You know, and the peace that I feel and the shift in my food, it's wonderful and it's amazing. And I can't believe that I didn't know or understand this before, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, guys. Evan from California.
Thank you so much, Evan Yu. And Larry G., will you share with us now, followed by Catherine M.? Good morning, Larry. And please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. Yes, this is Larry G. I'm calling from California. And thank you so much for your service. This doctor, it reminds me of the modern day, today, the first responders who are on the front lines dealing with this terrible pandemic and watching people die from it. I would imagine this doctor probably feels the way that a lot of these doctors feel in these hospitals, people coming in who have masked up or who are suffering, dying from COVID. You know, he said that there's no hope. And the thing that this big book does for me is that it just exposes my bull crap. Because for years in meetings, I remember reading that. In years in meetings, I would talk about how there's no hope. If you don't surrender, if you don't work the steps, you don't go to meetings. But it was Larry G. that didn't have any hope. Because I hadn't surrendered. I was still in charge of food. I was, someone said earlier, so articulate was about food to God. I had this woman come up to me and say, Larry, I want you to go home and that altar you have, I want you to put food in the altar and bow to it because that's your God. And that really pissed me off, but that's the truth. And boy, I tell you, there's nothing like a good relapse, like a good hitting bottom to really get your attention, to become coachable and teachable. Anyway, I pass. I love the fact that we, 200-300 people on this line, and we're all on the same page reading this paragraph. And the one thing that Visions has done for me is it has decluttered my OA library. I just get to study the big book each day. Thank you so much. I pass.
Well, thank you, Larry G. And now we'll have Catherine M. followed by Audrey M. P. Good morning, Catherine, and please share where you're calling from.
Okay, I'm Catherine M. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Okay, I'm Catherine M. from North Carolina. And when I heard this, I read this paragraph, I'm thinking about the previous chapters where there have been other doctors, you know, Dr. Silkworth, who had basically said the same thing, and then one of the guys had gone to Europe and gotten a prominent doctor, and, you know, he had to admit that he couldn't help. And then, you know, we have yet another doctor who is saying that, you know, he really can't help, and that apart from divine help, it's you know, it's a pretty bad situation. And I guess I just think about the medical community, and maybe that was really hard not to be to be a doctor and not to be able to help. But I got recovered last year in the pandemic. And one of the things, well, really the thing that made the biggest difference other than doing what I was told was to really, really, really believe in my heart and listen to others that, you know, my power did. It did have to come from divine help. And I have a daily ritual, and sometimes, well, not sometimes, but when I really don't follow it to a T, things don't go as well. And recently I've had an experience of not putting the time in with God in the morning. And I could tell I suffered in my program, but I like to think of it as like spending time with a best girlfriend, you know, and my best girlfriend's, we're always talking about anything and nothing. And, you know, it takes time to build a relationship with somebody. And that is the way that I've come to realize that's the kind of relationship that I really want to have with God. And I just love the big book. I love this chapter. And I'm glad you're here, and thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Catherine M. from North Carolina. Audrey M. P., will you share with us, please? And please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, Team Thursday. This is Audrey M. P. Uh-oh, can I be heard?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, great. Thank you for everybody's share. I get so much out of this meeting, and I it's Audrey M.P., and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Southern California, and I have to speak up because I've been in OA for 27 years, and I have recovery from bulimia for 27 years, and the mental black spots, and and the mental twist. I'm working a food program today in Vision that I have never ever worked ever in my life, and I have about 11 days of recovery of entire abstinence, and I'm so grateful. So I just want to shout it out until I get to the recovered part of it. I just want to give a shout out to the bulimic who still suffers, because I have 27 years of recovery from bulimia, and I just want to reach out. I can't sponsor, but I want to reach out. And my number is on the list if you're familiar with the website. What spoke to me, I love what everybody said about this reading, but what spoke to me is that had you offered yourselves as patients at this hospital, I would not have taken you if I had been able to avoid it, because you're too heartbreaking. And sometimes I think, you know, I had a sponsor, I had my first sponsor for 22 years, and I learned here in the 12 steps of recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, which we've amended for ourselves, how to be responsible, how to show up, how to tell the truth. And I lied to my sponsor after 22 years, and I didn't tell her I lied. And when I made amends to her, she said, okay, it's time we let this go. So the last 5 years have just been wavering, like, where am I going to get my recovery? And I felt like I was hopeless, because I would ask people to sponsor me and they wouldn't. I know now that I have a loving God, and I need to seek his help every day. And every day I have to seek God when I crave the foods that I've had to let go, that I've never let go of before in my life ever. And that's just what's going to keep me coming back. It's just going to keep me coming back, and I want to be of service in any way possible. And I'm so grateful to read the 12 steps today and for all of you. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Audrey M.P. from California. And I am going to be giving now Naomi B. a couple of minutes to share if she'd like to continue her share. And I just want to let you know we are on page 43,
apologize.
The second paragraph.
It was calling from my husband. Thank you. Okay. I'm still Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. Yes, the hopelessness. That was me. I mean, I even went as far as having the lap band surgery. And even with the lap band surgery, at one point, the doctor couldn't help me in the doctor's office for finding something with the band, and he had to cut me open in the doctor's office. And next thing I know, I developed an infection, all in the name of trying to lose weight. And, you know, what resonates with me this morning with this beautiful reading was God led me to OA, but OA led me back to God. And that was like, because I believed in God and I trusted God, but not when it came to the food, because I was in charge. What a mess. What an absolute mess. And I was hopeless, 100% hopeless, because I thought I knew best. And even with the band, I mean, I lost 70 pounds, but I gained 35 back because I'm the real deal. I have this mental twist in my brain. I'm not like normal eaters, and I never will be. But thankfully, with this, following the book, following the steps, being a sponsor, having a sponsor, and working this program every day. What happened one day just recently was like this just set it off for me. I was doing some cleaning around. I was using the vacuum cleaner, and I adjusted it, and I hit the red button to start it. But you know what? It didn't go on. It didn't go on because I didn't plug it into the wall. And I thought, that's it. I have to be plugged in to my higher power all day long. And I, too, have different things that I do in the morning, every morning that I do, to keep plugged in. Because you know, I'm not like other people. And like we say in our, you know, in vision, I'm a pickle. I'll never go back to being a cucumber. Thank you for allowing me to continue my share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Naomi B. And now I'm opening up the lines. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Barbara W.
Donna W.
Keita D.
Donna W. And who did I miss?
Keita D. from New York.
Keita D. Okay. We have Barbara W., Donna W., Keita D., and I'll take two more people.
George E.
And one more. I couldn't hear that. Who is that? Okay, well, let's just go with this lineup. We've got Naomi B., Barbara W. I'm sorry, Naomi B. already shared. We've got Barbara W., Donna W., Keita D., and George E. Barbara W., will you share with us this morning, please? And please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Barbara W., and I'm calling from Washington State on the Pacific time zone. And thank you for your service, and it's so nice to be here with everyone this morning. What really jumps out is that finally, without divine intervention, this is just not going to happen. And it's interesting because the phrase that jumps right out at me from the past is, the persistence of this illusion is astonishing. And I've been in program 43 years. I came in when my children were very small, and they're all in their 40s now. And what I realize is for years and years and years, I would ride that merry-go-round. I would go up, and I would gain it, and I'd lose it. I'd gain it, and I'd lose it. At one point, I got up to 250 pounds at 5'5". Gratefully, I have lost that weight, but somehow that divine intervention, that divine source, I could never quite completely accept it, because right now I'm 10 months and 2 weeks into a abstinence. I haven't been this close, this much, this far. I can't remember the last time. And I sponsor, I talk to my sponsor, and I was talking to her once a week, and I finally feel that I have connected with my higher power, with a source of strength. I have gone to a big variety store and stopped in the middle of the store and paused and said, okay, God, you know how I can be in this big store. Please stay with me. And that source was. And I went out of the store, not, you know, spending a reasonable amount for my groceries and sundries. And I came home and sat down, and it was just like this incredible peace. I don't think I've ever had that kind of peace where I can walk calmly in my small apartment into each little room, calmly sit down. And even my dog is picking up on my energy. And when my animals are calm, that's my signal that basically all is well. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. Now, Donna W., will you share with us, followed by Keita D., and I just want to remind you, we are on page 43, the second paragraph, starting with many doctors and psychiatrists, and we're sharing on that one paragraph only. Good morning, Donna.
Hello, hello, Dawn. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. So grateful for my recovery today. praying for food freedom and emotional sobriety. And lack of power is my dilemma. And this morning I woke up just with this clarity that lack of power is my dilemma. It's not that it's around the food. It's like I need to plug in. And just it was just so clear. Like I meditate because I'm like recharging my batteries. Like I plug my phone in when I go to bed at night. I need to plug myself in. And it just was so clear this morning. And that, you know, that I need power. I am not the power. I need a higher power. I need to turn my life and my will over to my higher power so that I can just be charged up and so I can be of maximum service to God and my fellows throughout the day. And, you know, some days it's clear. Some days, like my self-reliance, self-centeredness, self-seeking are in charge. And, you know, I was brought up to be a strong, independent woman. So, you know, I that's how I know how to do it. And so I just want to say for today, I really feel it. Like I need to plug in. I need to recharge. That is my power. It's not just about food because I am, I have an illness. I have a spiritual malady, which results in, you know, this selfishness, self-seeking, self-pity, self-reliance. And that's my real, dilemma. And I also want to say it's getting really clear for me when I get really tired, like that, I really look for food when I'm tired. And so part of my recovery needs to be that I get enough sleep. I'm just really grateful for program, for food freedom, and for all of you. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna W. from California. Now, Keita D., will you share with us, followed by George E., and please share where you're calling from. Good morning, Keita.
Good morning. This is Keita D., a recovering compulsive overeater from Rochester, New York. As we were reading the paragraph today about doctors and psychiatrists' assessment of the alcoholic, back then, I think in the 1930s, I was just reflecting on my own journey with doctors and eventually therapists with my situation with food. You know, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes after really bad binging a couple of years ago, and my A1C went up to 14, which, if you know that, is really high, dangerously high. And so my doctor sent me to a nutritionist, and I just sat there kind of frozen, and she had these models of food, and I just had dread, like, okay, and I could try this, but what she didn't understand is that, you know, I can't stop once I've started eating certain foods, and I can't stop from starting again without help more than just her food plan. And so I went back to my doctor. I'm like, this is not working, and I want to stop eating what I now know are alcoholic foods, but I felt really helpless. So then she did a referral to a place where I would have a therapist who specialized in eating disorders. And interestingly enough, my therapist had heard of AA, but she really felt like I could heal my relationship with food, like I didn't have to restrict certain foods. And I'm like, okay. You know, I was so desperate. I'm like, okay, I'll try to heal my relationship with food and talk to my inner child and feed it what it wants. It just didn't work. And I'm so thankful today because today is day 24. I'm just so thankful that I don't have, that I'm not managing this physical allergy right now, and that miraculously the mental obsession has lifted. I can't even tell you how I'm all like, wow, this is amazing. So I've been coming to Vision since Monday, February 15th, pretty much every day, unless I had a doctor's appointment for my broken ankle. But I just want to thank you all for your service and your love. And I'm so happy I landed safely amongst you all. This is Keita D. from New York, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Keita D. George E., will you share with us now, please? Good morning, George. Please share where you're calling
yes.
from.
This is George E., recovering compulsive eater in Ohio. You can hear me, right?
Yep, sure can.
All right, so
how well crafted the program was, and not just because of what it said, but you know, it's right before the last paragraph, of course. So,
I'm sorry, George. We're having a little bit of trouble hearing you right now. Could you get a little closer to the speaker, perhaps?
That really.
George? I'm sorry, George. We're having trouble hearing you. Would you be able to speak closer to the speaker, perhaps, or take out your headphones?
The point is that, you know, the human body and the human spirit, well, the human body might be countably infinite, and the human spirit is just unimaginable, you know, infinite. And so I was reflecting on my relationship with doctors, and, you know, most of them told the truth, but a lot of them had that, you know, and I'm not sure why. I don't know if it was helpful. I do know that they had a conception of what eating disorders are and what diabetes is. And, you know, for all the research and studies they've done on things like diabetes, they can't even answer a simple question like whether it's genetic or you know, environmental. You know, they really can't. So the truth is, it's probably 40, 50, 60, 40, 20, depending on who the individual is. You know, God created man, he didn't make all men alike.
We cannot hear this person. This person cannot be heard.
Has, stuff that can be useful. That man has created, not as created. Born there.
We cannot understand what he's saying. It's too muffled.
George?
Thank you.
Mo, would you be able to mute the line, please?
Yes. It really opened my eyes.
There we go. Thank you so much, Mo. And I'll now take one more person, if there's one more person who would like to share. And we are, if you haven't shared in the last few days and would like to share, we would love to hear from you. We're on page 43, the second paragraph, how many doctors and psychiatrists. Who would like to share?
Catherine N.
Catherine N., fantastic. Go ahead, Catherine, and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Catherine N. from Richmond, Virginia. And I just wanted to, I've been around a couple months to Vision now. I've been in LA for a lot of years. And I just wanted to thank everyone for their shares. And I, too, am so clear now that it is all about my relationship with my higher power, and that's where the power comes from. It's not my job to try and control my food, and it's not my job to try and control my life. I need to turn it all over to God, everything, every last little decision I make, and it's only in that way that I can have freedom from the obsession and from all my runaway emotions. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine N. And we still have time for about a minute, minute and a half share, if there's someone who would like to take that who hasn't shared in the last few days.
I'd like to share.
Hi, this is Patty from Massachusetts.
Patty from Massachusetts. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, good morning, everyone. This is Patty from Massachusetts. I'm new to this program, this Vision for You. And I just want to say it's good to be here. Thank you. I just want to comment on the reading. For many, many years, you know, I was in doctor's office and psychiatric offices trying to figure out what was wrong with me. I knew there was something wrong. I just didn't know what it was and how to fix it. And so that's what I did for many years, trying to fix it with the help of doctors and talk therapy. And, you know, I was just going to think my way out of it or talk my way out of it. And if I could just figure it out, then I would be able to finally be free and finally be happy. And it was kind of a surprise to me that underneath it all, I had a food problem. you know, I know that food's not the problem. I know that it's a mental issue, but I could never put two and two together. I could never put my mental condition and my mental health together with the food. I thought they were two separate things, two separate problems. And, you know, the good news today is that I'm finding out that they're not, that they're linked together, and that my mental health, my mental, physical, and spiritual health is directly connected to my spiritual life and also, you know, abstinence, you know, because if I continue in the food, then I'm going to continue in the craziness, and there's not a doctor on the planet that's going to be able to help me with that, and that there is a solution, and the solution is in these rooms with you people and the big book and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I just can't tell you how grateful I am for that, and that's it. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty from Massachusetts. All right. Well, we will now close with a reading from the big book. We're on page 64, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Laura R., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Good morning, Laura.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.